Welcome, Deep Divers. Today we're jumping into something pretty deep, actually. It's about suffering, honesty, what real support looks like. We're focusing on, well, a specific Bible passage, Job chapter 6. Often misunderstood, I think. So what's the plan? We've looked at some really insightful sources that kind of unpack Job's raw feelings, you know, and that intense conversation he has with his friends. Our goal is to pull out the key truths, things that speak to your life right now, stuff about navigating pain, finding resilience, and specifically how this ancient wisdom can, maybe surprisingly, encourage a kind of obedience, a deeper faith in God today. And by obedience, we don't just mean following rules blindly. It's more about aligning your heart with God's compassion, especially when facing suffering. And faith, well, it's not just belief, is it? It's that gritty trust that hangs on even when nothing makes sense.
Exactly. And what's really striking about Job is how timeless it feels. It's not just some old story. It really pushes back against some common ideas we have about why people suffer. It gives you a lot to think about, you know, regarding our relationships with each other and with God. Mm-hmm. We'll get into his actual words, which are incredibly powerful, and then try to connect that to, okay, how do you live this out? How does this practically encourage that obedience and strengthen faith day to day?
Right. So to really get Job 6, you kind of have to imagine his situation. I mean, unimaginable loss, pain, everything stripped away. And chapter 6 opens, it's not a polite hello to his friend Eliphaz. It's more like an eruption of grief. It's raw.
Totally raw. That's the perfect word. Job is just pouring out the sheer depth of his sorrow. It's almost overwhelming to read. And he's pushing back hard, insisting, look, this isn't happening because I sinned. Which, you know, went against everything his friends, his culture believed. And you can just hear his frustration with their advice. It's empty. It just doesn't touch the reality of his pain.
You can almost feel that weight in his opening lines, can't you? It's not just sadness. It's like this cosmic heaviness.
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
Verses 1 to 7, he wishes his grief could be put on scales. He says, it'd be heavier than the sand of the sea. Which, in that ancient world, suffering wasn't just an emotion. It was seen as almost a physical thing, a burden. So heavier than sand. It's saying this is beyond human understanding, beyond endurance. He feels like he's been hit by God's arrows directly.
Yeah.
You know, arrows of the Almighty. So it's personal, painful, makes it bitter and unbearable.
Wow. God's arrows.
Yeah. And he uses these like rhetorical questions. Can you eat bland food without salt? Is there taste in egg white? It's his way of saying his life right now is completely devoid of anything good. Tasteless, bitter, an existential void, really.
So not just down, but utterly empty. This total loss of joy, this pervasive bitterness. It sounds like he's just spent spiritually, emotionally. What about his wish for death that seems incredibly desperate? How does that challenge our usual ideas about faith when someone's suffering so intensely?
Right. That's verses 8 to 13. He basically asks God to end it, to destroy me, cut me off. It's not really like suicide as we think of it. More a plea for God to grant him release from this unbearable agony.
Just want to get to stop.
Exactly. But here's the amazing part. Even in that despair, he says he has not concealed the words of the Holy One. He's holding on to his integrity. And that word integrity, tuma, in Hebrew, it means wholeness, blamelessness, like complete faithfulness.
So even at the absolute bottom wanting death, he's still clinging to that, refusing to curse God or pretend he sinned.
Yes, it's incredible. He questions his own strength. Is my flesh brass? Acknowledging he's totally depleted. But his faith isn't about being cheerful. It's this raw, honest wrestling, integrity in the midst of agony.
Yeah, a powerful paradox. Rock bottom, wishing for the end, but still holding on to who he is before God. But then, okay, after pouring out his soul to God, he turns to his friends, the ones who supposedly came to comfort him. And it sounds like what he sees there.
Well, it sparks a whole new kind of pain, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not a thank you. He really lets them have it.
Oh, absolutely. Far from a thank you. And it makes you ask, what kind of support do we offer when someone's really in the thick of it? Job's response is, yeah, it's a tough lesson in empathy. Verses 14 to 23, he just calls them out directly. He says, true friendship means kindness, not criticism, especially when someone's hurting. And he uses this amazing image, compares them to deceitful brooks, you know, streams that look full of water in the winter, maybe icy.
But then summer comes.
And they're gone, bone dry. Just when the traveler, like a caravan needing water, relies on them, they pass away. Completely unreliable.
Ouch. That's harsh.
It is. He tells them straight up, ye are nothing. He see my casting down and are afraid. He sees their fear.
Their fear. Fear of what? Maybe fear that if this could happen to righteous Job, then their whole neat system of good people get good things, bad people suffer. Well,
ah.
That just collapses. It threatens their worldview.
Ah, okay. So it's about them as much as him.
Could be. And he points out, look, I didn't ask you for money. I didn't ask for a rescue mission. I just needed understanding, compassion, presence. And they gave him accusations instead.
So they showed up physically, but emotionally, spiritually, they just weren't there when things got tough. Like that dry riverbed, it reminds you of those times you just need someone to listen, and instead you get advice, or worse, blame.
And Job doesn't just stop there, right? He challenges their actual arguments too. Demands some honesty.
Exactly right. Verses 24 to 30, he says basically, okay, teach me, show me where I went wrong. If I have, I'll be quiet. He asks for honesty, not these empty judgments. He asks, how forcible are right words? Like, truthful words have power. But what does your arguing reprove? What does your argument actually prove? Nothing, he implies. It's hollow.
He sees right through it. Yeah, and he accuses them of more than just bad advice. He says they're overwhelming the fatherless, digging a pit for your friend, like they're setting traps with their words, taking advantage of his weakness.
Wow, digging a pit, that's strong language.
It is. And he stands his ground on his righteousness. My righteousness is in it. He's saying, find an actual sin. Teach me if I've truly erred. Don't just condemn me based on your flawed ideas about suffering. He knows they can't.
So pulling this together, what's the ancient wisdom here for us? Obviously empathy, but it feels like there's more about integrity too, under pressure.
Definitely. Job 6 gives us some really profound lessons, and they tie directly into encouraging that obedience and strengthening faith we talked about. First, Job's cries show us something crucial. Deep pain messes with our perspective. Right. You might say things, feel things that seem extreme, but shallow advice, even if it sounds right, can actually hurt more. What's needed is compassion, not critique. A safe space isn't just no judgment. It's someone being present, saying, I'm here with you in this mess.
Without trying to fix it immediately.
Exactly. That's where obedience to God's call for mercy starts. Not always in speaking, but often in just being there, quietly, compassionately. So for you listening, it means validate the pain first. Before you jump to answers or scriptures, remember Job being heard. That's often more healing than being fixed.
That's a practical act of obedience then, listening like that, mirroring God's patience.
Right. And it strengthens your own faith in a God who truly sees and hears our pain. Second, Job's honesty, his lament, it's not him losing faith. It's actually part of a real gritty faith. He lays it all out before God, the anger, confusion, doubt.
No filters.
None. And his complaints aren't rebellion. They're part of an honest relationship. It gives us permission, you know, to bring our own mess to God without fear. This strengthens faith because it shows God doesn't demand a performance. He wants honesty. Real intimacy comes when we let ourselves be fully seen, warts and all.
So it's okay to tell God I'm overwhelmed or I just don't get this.
Absolutely. Job shows us God can handle it.
Yeah.
That honesty is actually obedience to being truthful in our relationship with him. It builds real connection, not just religious motions. Third, that critique of his friends. Verse 14 is key. To him that is afflicted, pity or kindness should be showed from his friend. Cuts through everything else. Ancient wisdom gets it. Presence matters more than lectures in dark times. So obedience here means prioritizing that loving presence, reflecting God's compassion.
Being the kind of friend who actually listens, gently.
Yes. Not delivering theological smackdowns. So many people today, like Job, just need compassion, not correction. That builds trust, builds real community, strengthens faith because it reflects God's love.
And guarding against performative empathy, you mean like showing up but not really engaging?
Precisely. Job's friends showed up, but their words were way off. Real friendship, especially in suffering, needs emotional intelligence, real investment, showing up ready to understand, not just talk. That's loving your neighbor. That's obedience. And finally, Job knows his suffering isn't a direct punishment for sin. He holds both realities. God is sovereign, and I am innocent in this.
Which challenges that simple cause and effect thinking.
Totally. It pushes back on you suffer because you sinned. It encourages a tougher, more resilient faith, one that trusts God even when the why is completely hidden. Obedience, then, isn't just for when life makes sense. It's trusting God's character, especially when it doesn't.
And that connects to how we speak, too.
Yeah, Job challenges them. Show me the sin. They can't.
Yeah.
So in a world quick to judge, it reminds us. Speak what's true, what's needed, what's kind.
That's a direct call to obedience in our words, creating spaces where faith can actually breathe, where people feel safe enough to be real.
Exactly. Grace, not judgment.
Wow. Okay, so this dive into Job 6, it really underlines that timeless struggle with suffering, doesn't it? And that deep human need for real connection. It's such a powerful reminder. Sometimes the biggest act of faith is just being brutally honest with God about the pain. And maybe the biggest act of friendship is just showing up with kindness, being willing to sit in the ashes with someone without needing all the answers.
Well said. And zooming out, Job's story really does push us towards that radical honesty in our walk with God, knowing he can take our laments, our anger, our confusion, and still be God, still be faithful. And it calls us to a higher bar for empathy, which strengthens our own faith as we actually try to live out God's love towards others. It's a challenge, really, to build communities, families, friendships, churches, where that kind of raw honesty and deep compassion can actually happen. That draws us closer to God and definitely closer to each other. So thinking about all this, after this deep dive, what does Job's raw honesty in his suffering teach you about approaching God with your own deepest fears or unanswered questions?